Fourier on WEEI.
All right, hour number two of the MFers. Ben Volen, Boston Globe, joins us. Ben, I see you didn't get a haircut, but I see some product to kind of mat it down a little bit.
You know, gotta let the fro flow a little bit.
Are those berries, or are they, you know, fruits and berries?
Fruits and juices.
Fruits and juices?
Yeah, it's all natural fruit like juices up here.
Like, hey, gluten-free, you know, too, right?
I like it.
Yeah, I sense a little jealousy from you boys, if we're going to be honest.
Listen, my hair used to be like that. That's the funny thing. We used to have the same hair.
All right, give me...
COVID.
And then you grew up,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So your Patriots are 1-1. All right, big win. Big win against the Jets.
Big win for my Patriots.
25-6.
Victory Tuesday.
What was your biggest takeaway of that game?
So Josh McDaniels came on, did a media conference today and said... he has all the trust in the world in Mac Jones. He clearly either A, didn't really trust Mac Jones, or B, didn't trust the Patriots offensive line against the Jets team that did not blitz. They blitzed, I think, six times all game, and it was all on third down. So it was just four-man pressure. And you go back and look, he called 12 play-action passes. He called 7 draw plays. He called 4 screen plays. He called an end-around, a double pass. It was all deception and gimmicks to move the ball. And all their best, chunk plays were the double pass, where Hunter Henry, a play action, and he's wide open. They needed that deception to just to be able to move the ball. Now, some of that was probably this is Mac Jones's first road game. The Jets, I think, do have a pretty talented front four, and Robert Saleh is a good, good defensive coach. And, you know, Sheldon Richardson, those guys up front did a pretty good job. But clearly, there was not a whole lot of trust either in Mac or the offensive line, or maybe just a combination of all of it, because they really needed kind of a lot of gimmickry to move the ball.
So with only one guy really out, that would be the right tackle. Trent Brown is out. They were ultra conservative just because the offensive line wasn't as far along as they thought they would be.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call it conservative as much as they needed to kind of use deception. They called play action or a screen on 8 of their first 12 passes. And then their 13th pass was the double pass. So just they wanted to keep the Jets off balance. They didn't want Mac Jones just dropping back and being a sitting duck in the pocket. So it's just heavy on play action, lots of screens. And the screens were great. James White, 28 yards. James White had another 11 yards. Play action was not very effective. But, you know, the end around to Bourne, the double pass, they were able to move the ball. So I wouldn't say it's conservative. That's, you know, those are trick plays, but they needed the gimmickry just to be able to do something against the Jets-based defense.
See, we played that Josh McDaniels sound earlier, you know, about how I trust him. And I'm starting to figure out, because I was more of kind of where you were at, like, obviously Josh doesn't trust him yet. And it's probably the right approach, right? Two games into his career, the first game on the road. But after hearing that, we just started thinking about maybe this is just Mac Jones. You know, they kind of gave him that message of, listen, you know, 5 yard, you roll to the right, that back is running with you, give it to him. Don't look downfield, which is what Wilson should have done on his second pick, right? He threw it downfield instead of having the guy right there in the flat. And they programmed him so much that he's not even looking for anything else. Like that double pass, your first look has to be to the deep guy. And from all accounts, Aguilar was open for a touchdown. The minute he caught it, he just saw Jonnu Smith 10 yards down the field and threw it to him right away. Didn't even look. And it's just, I feel like he's not even looking 15 to 20 yards downfield. He is taking 5 to 10 yards and not even looking. I think this is him. I think they have programmed it into him to the point where they're going to have to call him back in and say, hey, remember what we said? It's okay to throw to a guy that's wide open 15, 20 yards downfield. You can do that, you know.
Yeah, and Phil Perry posted another play, the play where Mac Jones...
intentional grounding.
Yeah, where Hunter Henry is streaking
wide open.
Now, the pass rush may have made it difficult to get the ball over there. But, I mean, yes, I do think Mac Jones right now is kind of being programmed to just get the ball out. And let's not sit there like a duck in the pocket. But you know what? You look at the other rookies around the league, and they're all a mess right now. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, like dead last, you know, in interceptions and completion percentage. Zach Wilson, we saw him the other day. Like, their coaching staffs are just letting those kids go out there and just rip it, which is the complete wrong approach for a rookie quarterback, especially when you're trying to win like the Patriots are. So I think most important is the fact that Mac Jones is one of 8 quarterbacks across the league who hasn't thrown a pick yet. So that's the most important thing.
So just to the Jets, since you brought him up, the other rookie quarterbacks, explain to me your thoughts and feelings on Zach Wilson based on his performance.
I don't want to say I hate quarterbacks like this, but I hate all the hype that's been produced around him. Like, I get it. You watch him, and he's a physical freak.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like Mahomes at times out there, and he made a throw in the fourth quarter in garbage time, like on the left sideline, like 30 yards. That was unbelievable. Throw of the game right there. So
are you talking about the pick play?
No. It was Braxton Berrios on the sideline in garbage time, just threaded it perfectly for 27 yards, I think. So he makes some plays, but he doesn't know how to play winning football. And so all this hype about him, you know, Tony Romo saying he's going to be a game-changing quarterback within 3 to 5. How about not throwing the ball to the other team first? How about learning how to win? And that's the disconnect between so much pre-draft analysis and what happens on the field is we just focus on these kids' tools and not do they know how to play football.
So you would say then, because we were talking about, you know, I think after week one, I think all of us sort of a little disappointed in the defense. You know, with that game against Miami, not getting off the field late in that game. How would you look at this pass game? Are you praising the Patriots' defense, or was it really more about this Jet offense?
Well, Zach Wilson absolutely handed them
just
the game
gave it to
on
him.
A platter. I mean, without
like, was
question.
That Bill confusing a rookie?
Not or, even.
No, he just threw it. Like, that wasn't like the classic, oh, Bill got in the head, he's seeing ghosts. No, he just threw it to guys.
Yeah, they didn't
blitz. They weren't open.
They didn't blitz him that often. They weren't doing the boogeyman stuff. This was just Wilson trying to play hero ball too often and squeeze the ball into windows that just weren't there. I do think the Patriots defense, did better. And even the run defense, I know there's been a lot of criticism. They gave up 150 yards. I think it's really more about consistency because they had like 3 tackles for loss, 2 for just 1 yard. They had a lot of stuffs, and I was looking up the stats through 2 weeks. They lead the NFL in stuffed runs, and they're like 3rd in tackles for loss. So they're actually getting in the backfield. Barmore made a nice play. Lawrence Guy made a couple nice plays.
Bentley.
Guy and Bentley on the goal line especially. Bentley was my player of the game on defense.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. So they're making plays. They're just not consistent enough, and there were too many plays where they're not getting off blocks. They're missing tackles. So the final numbers are bad, but they are being disruptive. They just need to be more consistent.
So and what about I feel like there's this – J.C. Jackson getting interceptions again, but they're just kind of being thrown to him. So I feel like he's a difficult guy to kind of evaluate for me. Is he a game-changing cornerback, or is he the benefit of right place, right time?
Yeah, he really does remind me a lot of Malcolm Butler, and not just because of the whole undrafted profile, where I think Malcolm Butler was like a really good competitive number two. You just didn't want to trust him as your number one. And I thought we saw that last year towards the end of the season when Gilmore got hurt. I don't think Jackson, you know, he can't step up and cover the 6'4" corner receivers. And he's, yes, I agree with you. Like his interceptions are fantastic and you can't take it away. But, you know, when Wilson throws him the ball and he deflects it up and he catches it, I mean, that's, you know, he's kind of the beneficiary of right place, right time.
So I give that credit to McCourty.
Why? Well, Jackson made the initial
play. He did, but it was like a jump ball, and Devin, like, and a jump ball in the NBA actually tapped it to J.C.
Like
Jackson.
A hot potato.
Yeah, like it was a jump ball. Like, I'm going to tap it to you. You get possession. Like, he just tapped it right to him. It was beautiful play by Devin. And his second pick was just an awful underthrow.
Yeah, the one on the sideline.
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he just didn't get enough air.
Yeah,
on
it. Threw it by like 5-10 yards.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson makes 10 throws a game that just leave you shaking your head. And you saw it in week one against the Panthers, too. I mean, everyone's talking about, oh, his toughness and he's 2 awesome touchdowns in the fourth quarter. You're ignoring the first 50 minutes of the game when he's throwing the ball 5 yards out of bounds or giving it away to the other team. So he's got awesome tools, but he's got a long way to go. And he's just the kind of guy you're never sure if he's going to be able to put it all together.
Yeah, and you mentioned something. You mentioned winning football. He doesn't know what goes into winning football. Maybe not yet. And maybe Robert Saleh is going to have to be the guy that teaches him. Maybe he doesn't know how to kind of hammer that home, because the give a crap factor with those last 2 interceptions were at 0. It's like, oh, you know what? I got to do something with it. So let me just go ahead and throw it up there. Maybe I'll get lucky. There's no awareness of how that can change the complexity of a game, and not to be all into his, you know, body language and facial expressions, but it just didn't look like it was like that big of a deal.
Yeah, he's talking about his swagger after the game and his press conference and stuff. I just get the feeling
take the bandana off.
Yeah, I was doing. Yeah, he looks like one of the evil dudes in Karate Kid or something.
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, but so I was over on the Jets side, and you know, during the post game, and I just get the feeling the whole operation there, everyone feels like they get a pass for this year. They got a rookie head coach, a rookie coordinator, a rookie quarterback, and the youngest roster in the league, which I don't understand how that is a possible equation for success.
No.
So you know, God bless the New York Jets. I don't understand how this is the plan that they move forward with without having any sort of veteran coaching or veteran presence on that team. But I think, you know, they just view this year as, hey, Zach, go out there and let it rip and let's sell some jerseys. And hopefully by year two or three, you'll be pretty good.
But isn't that, that's the worst. Let it rip. Even when you just say let it rip.
It's so bad. And that's why
I know.
It's insane.
But that's why I don't mind this approach with Mac Jones two games in. Maybe even three or four games in or whatever, right? Because it's you watch a rookie quarterback and it's usually the you run the football, which they ran it effectively, and it's a couple of check downs, running back out of the backfield, and you sit there and they confidence throws, right? It's to get the young rookie into a game. Yeah, you know, that was his first home game. You know what I mean? So I'm sure there were some nerves there too.
Away game.
No, I'm talking about Zach Wilson.
Oh, okay.
You know, so there's some nerves there still. It's still a first home game. He wants to play well. And they really didn't give him an easy way to kind of get into the game. You know, they were challenging the ball downfield. There wasn't any confidence throws. And next thing you know, he's 0 for 2 with two picks. And I feel like this is what they're doing with Mac Jones. It's not in one game. It's just early in the season. Both games, it was like, just take this. Confidence throws, you know. See yourself making completions. You know, that's going to pay dividends down the road. So I don't mind this approach now.
But
we can talk about it week 10, week 8, week 12, whatever. But right now, I don't mind at all. I think it's the right thing what Josh is doing.
But it does seem like that's not always the plan, and it's Mac Jones settling for the check down. Mac Jones wanting to get the
ball
out.
After hearing Josh today, I felt like that is.
Yeah, it does seem like Mac isn't trusting himself enough to sit there and go through his reads, which, again, that's part of you know, the learning, the growing pains with a rookie quarterback. But as long as he's not screwing up and putting you in bad situations, that's a big win for your team. And like I said, he's one of eight quarterbacks in the league that has yet to throw a pick. So that is definitely something to hang your hat on.
Well, as far as the other quarterbacks, you haven't seen Trey Lance that much, right? Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, took every single snap.
Yeah, he actually didn't play last week.
Yeah, but Justin Fields, he may start. Who the hell knows what's going on with Andy Dalton?
I think Fields is supposed to start this week and probably for a couple weeks now.
Okay, and then just back to the Patriots real quick before I know we got a break. Isaiah Wynn.
Ooh.
Isaiah Wynn. What in the hell? Like, isn't he considered a vet now? Isn't he considered, you know, hey, no excuses, no more benefit of the doubt, no more mulligans?
They picked up his $10 million option for next year already. That's fully guaranteed. Yeah, so, you know, Durant, the fill-in right tackle, he was involved in all three sacks, and he's the guy that everyone's saying, oh, the Patriots have an issue at right tackle, and they do. But Wynn is your starting left tackle, and to me, he's been pretty disappointing through two games, notably the penalties. Last year, one penalty in 10 games. This year, three penalties in two games. He had a bad holding. He had a false start. Cost you a 9-yard run. Cost you a red zone opportunity. Wynn has definitely struggled through 2 weeks, and that's your left tackle. That's someone you need to play better.
He had 7 quarterback pressures in two games so far. 7. He had 10. He had 16 last year in 10. He's got 7 in 2. No, he has been bad, and that's we were talking yesterday as far as like this team is not as advertised because it was advertised as a top 5 offensive line. And right now, you're a mess at both tackles. Like, you're a mess at both tackles. And you know, Damian Harris has had two very long runs. You know, and I know you can't just sort of cherry pick, but you take those two long runs, and they have not run the ball well. I don't think so. I mean, they're averaging 3.5 yards a carry. I mean, it's two busted plays, and we give him all that credit for that touchdown run, but I don't think they're as advertised, this offensive line, at all.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's not just them, too. It's the tight ends. It's, you know, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, who have actually made some good blocks. But it's when you add this many pieces to an offense in one offseason, it's not just going to come together week one, week two seamlessly. I think it's going to be a work in progress for this unit throughout at least the first half of the season. I mean, they went out and bought two new tight ends, two new receivers. They've got a new offensive line. You know, Onwenu is even kind of new at left guard. So it's just it's a lot of new pieces, and I think it's not realistic to expect it to be flawless right away. Meanwhile, with Damian Harris, you notice a week after he played a career high in snaps and carries and fumbled the game away, they reduce his usage, and all of a sudden he's breaking 7 tackles and pulling off a beastquake touchdown run. So all right, smarter usage this time.
All right, he's Ben Volen of the Globe. Patriots off to a 1-1 start, but is this team what you thought they were? Are they as advertised? 617-779-7937. You talk about some of those carries being taken away. One guy that took them, James White. We'll dive into him a little bit as Maloney and Fourier continue right after this.
Well, I think every quarterback that plays with James White loves playing with James White. He's a talented player that's very consistent and makes good decisions to help the quarterback. You know, he's the type of a back that knows what to do, does the right thing, and the quarterback has a lot of confidence in him.
It's Bill Belichick Monday morning with the Greg Hill Show, talking about James White, who currently leads the team in receptions with 12 catches on 13 targets, 94 yards. Two games in, they don't have anybody over 100 yards receiving, which is kind of amazing. But 12 targets anyway. So James White, I mean, this is a guy that, I don't know, we've always sort of felt like, you know, with the lack of weapons in the outside, but you got James White, he'll catch the ball 75, 80 times, right? Right now, he's looking like a lead wide receiver, especially with the way they're kind of coaching up Mac Jones or what he's taking. He's just taking it.
Yeah, James White to me seems like the perfect example of how, like, technique is so much more important than your natural talent. He's not like a physical freak when it comes to the NFL. He's quick, but he's not elite fast, and he doesn't break a ton of tackles. But he is always in the right place at the right time, and always presents himself to the in a quarterback friendly manner as an outlet pass, or he's always picking up the right guy in pass protection. James White is just the smartest player on the field, so he's going to be a rookie quarterback's best friend, and he was a big weapon for them last week with the screen passes and the draw plays. He was an effective runner inside the red zone, scored their touchdown. James White is going to be Mac Jones' best friend this year.
So, real quick, so I'm going to go back to something you said before the break. Damian Harris didn't have nearly as many carries as he had last week against the Miami Dolphins. But you don't think they meant for that to happen. Do you think they meant for him to have so many carries last week against the Dolphins?
No, I think they didn't mean to bench Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's what happened.
Because I think that the way they're using him is kind of how they want to use him. I think J.J. Taylor had a couple reps, maybe five.
I was surprised. I thought he'd get more.
Two carries.
And he had one or two called back by penalty.
But do you think Stevenson would have gotten – because it's Damian Harris is the back. Whoever is the backup is just the spell back. They take a break back, get a breather, get some oxygen guy. You're not going to get the important reps. Right? I mean, and that's usually, I feel like, how they usually do it. There's the obvious number one big guy, there's the third down guy, and then there's the tweener.
Yeah, yeah, and that used to be Rex Burkhead or Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. There's this kind of, I'd say a misperception that, you know, the Patriots are always this running back by committee, and you don't know who's going to get the ball week in and week out. They've had bell cows. I mean, LeGarrette Blount had that year where he rushed for 18 touchdowns. Stephen Ridley had that 1,200-yard season. I think they would prefer, to your point, to use Damian Harris like that. I think they want to give him 250, 300 carries this year, let him rack up the 15 touchdowns, replace Cam Newton's red zone production. Yeah. And, yeah, I don't think they want to have a platoon there at all. I think they want Damian Harris to be the guy, but they do have to be mindful of, you know, it's early in the season. It was a hot game in week one, and he was clearly gassed and unfortunately it cost
them. And they were, too. When you look at this game, 48% snaps, I think, for Damian Harris, 42% for James White. And the first half is where James White did everything. I mean, he had his five carries all in the first half, and he had five receptions. He ended up with six. But that first half, Damian Harris, seven carries, James White, five. He led the team with five receptions. I mean, James White was active in that first half.
That was game
plan. Second half, not so much.
That was game plan.
Sure.
That wasn't like, well, we want to reduce Damian Harris. We think we can move the ball by going shotgun and giving it to James White.
Let me ask you, are they doing the right thing being conservative with Mac Jones? Getting back to him.
I mean, I'd like to see him push the ball downfield more. You know, he's 24th in the league in yards per attempt. So you want to see him throw downfield more. But the number one, by far, the number one indicator for winning in the NFL is turnovers. It's by far has the biggest impact.
So I get it, but
you're not throwing interceptions. That's you're putting your team in a good
another
position.
Big one, though, is as Wiggy would put it with Bill, like getting 7 points is better than three, right, Bill? So yeah, in the red zone, they're now 2 for 7 in the red zone, and I love it. You know, fine, don't turn the ball over if you're Mac Jones. We know that Damian Harris fumbled, but 3 points is only going to take you so far in this league, right? And the fact that he has not in two games attempted a pass that lands in the end zone is amazing. I don't think you could ever say that of any two-game span of any quarterback in the league. Can you? Ever?
I'd say it's more amazing that they just haven't had the opportunities to do so. This past game, Yeah, they were 1 for 3, but that last one was in garbage time. So they really just had 2 red zone opportunities, and they ran 5 plays. So they just didn't have any opportunities. That, to me, is disconcerting. They're not getting even to the red zone.
Or is he turning? Well, no, I agree. We've yet to really see, like, first and goal from the 4 or 5, you know, play action touchdown pass, right?
Right.
A lot of it has been from the 17 to the 20 to the 15. Damian Harris, first and 10 from the 11. He fumbled. James White ran it in from the 7, I believe, the other day. So really, you haven't had that whole, you know, first and goal from the 3, they can't get it in. You know, you haven't had that. A lot of it's been that 10 to 20, 15 to 20 yard line, right?
Now that we've seen these, yes, it's been, yeah, like the deep red zone, if they even get it in the red zone. Now that we've seen these teams play for 2 weeks, can you imagine? I mean, how is Mac Jones and the Patriots going to keep pace with the touchdown machine that is Tom Brady?
They can't.
In 2 weeks? I mean, Tom Brady, every trip down the field ends with a touchdown pass.
No, they can't. They can't.
Well, you know what they're going to do. I mean, I can tell you. I mean,
play keep away, right?
Well, yeah, it's going to be the old, you know, hey, we're playing the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning. So how do we keep him off the field? It's going to be, and which is weird because I would say, you know, Tampa, I feel like everyone just wants to get to Tampa. So let's do a little bit right now. Okay, because the whole, like, their defense, I mean, it's strong run defense. That's why Zeke Elliott, when they played, when Dallas played Tampa, they were not even trying to run with him. Like, 5 carries, something like that, nothing. It's like, why bother? Let's just throw it. That's your strength. Like, I would say that would be ultimately, I'm going to lean on some form of running the football. I don't care how you package it up. You know, fly sweeps, tosses, you know, bunch plays, whatever, heavy sets, whatever. It's going to be too tight end heavy, some form of run with those guys.
So you're with that philosophy, though, you're going to have to hold on to the ball for 40 minutes. And Brady in his 20 minutes is still going to put up 28 points. So you still got to put up points. So it's
no, listen, the odds of them, I don't even know what the line is, if they even have one right now, but I almost feel like it's borderline impossible for them to keep up unless they've been holding on to a couple different, you know, formations, a couple different, personnel packages that they've just kind of been waiting to kind of unleash. And then we're going to show them all in week 4.
That's what Patriots fans always say. Oh, just wait. And just wait. They're just holding back for your picks.
They're playing real coy. They're playing possum.
Yeah, Bill's playing chess.
Yeah, they don't need to put up yards and touchdowns. You know, they're just kind of teasing teams right now and lulling them to sleep. You know?
So, and that would be, we're talking about pushing the ball down the field. Hey, okay, Josh, you're telling me that you're not holding them back. There are no limitations. Well, if these guys are going to score every time they touch the ball, and we're talking, you're going to have to score 31 points. You're not going to have time to sit there and methodically just run the football and hope that every single possession is going to end with a touchdown. They're going to have to,
5 yard passes, second and 5. Just dump it, whatever. 14 play drives like they did in week 1, even if it's 3 points, whatever. Right? That's what they'll take. They'll take it all day long, because I'm with you. I don't know if you run against Tampa Bay. But the Patriots will kind of just move the ball down the field, try to hold on to the football. With short passes.
Isn't it amazing, too, all preseason, all we're talking about, man, Mac Jones, so confident out there, pushes the ball downfield. Every drive ends in points. Look at his confidence running the offense. Now through 2 actual regular season games, everything's a check down. Is he too scared? Is he getting rid of the ball too quickly? Why can't they push the ball down? It just shows you, even the Jets are so much better than any preseason team you're ever going to face. And it just crystallizes how stupid the preseason is and how you really can't take anything.
All right, he's Ben Volen. He also has a little hot take of what could have helped the Patriots in the red zone. We'll look at that as well as his ranking the rookie quarterbacks and see if he agrees with one Boomer Esiason. And we'll do that next on Maloney and Fourier.
Christian very well. I know Christian very well. When he speaks, I listen. Listen. Listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
God dang it.
Yeah.
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 God dang it.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
Woo! God dang it.
I can do this.
Woo! Let's get your money started.
I'm a Pats fan living in New York. And
this is Christian Fourier.
All right, welcome back. Maloney and Fourier. Ben Volen joins us from the Globe.
Another verse. I feel like he's shorting me. I feel like he's shorting my little cool little rejoiners.
Right,
and he's paying yours.
Ryan, how long was
and
that?
He's not giving me the justice. Was it really?
30 yes. seconds, same as mine.
Damn it,
same as mine.
I take that back. Good job.
Same as
that's
mine.
Like hours to put together.
Same as mine. New England Patriots are 2 for 7 in the red zone. Ben, what would have helped them?
Well, so that's dead last in the league, by the way. 28%, dead last in the league. Not for nothing, but a certain Cam Newton was pretty good in the red zone last year. Was pretty good in short yardage situations, too. So I'm just saying, you know, Mac has been good so far, but he hasn't exactly set the world on fire. And Cam Newton is a much more efficient red zone type of quarterback. So I don't know. It just puts the decision under the microscope.
I understand what you're saying, right? Because that's one area, you know, Cam Newton in the red zone. But I feel like if for the first two games, if they had first and goal from the three and haven't been able to punch it in, then I think you could have that argument.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been the case. It's been, you know, first and goal from the 15, holding, you know, or you know, whatever, just dump passes. It's just they haven't been first and goal from the two or the three where we sat there and said Cam Newton could run this thing in easily. They haven't had those opportunities yet or failed at those opportunities yet. It's all been from, I know they're in the red zone, but it's all been from the 15-yard line, 12-yard line and out.
You see, I don't think it'll stay like that. I think that because of right now, if I'm going to give him a grade on two games, it's incomplete. Just based on just you know the circumstances that they found themselves in, but I would think that based on what they want to be running the football, they know they're going to run it. Two big tight ends, play action opportunities, mismatches inside the 10, jump balls, 50-50 catches, all that stuff. I feel like they're tailor made to be a good red zone team. I think they will be, and when it's all said and done, I think that number will jump up. Just how many chances do you get?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If they only score 25 points off those four turnovers, that they're probably not winning a lot of those games. They're going to beat the Jets because the Jets can't do anything. But that was not efficient football by any stretch, with I think a lot of squandered opportunities after the turnovers. I agree. They haven't really had many deep red zone opportunities. Even the 2-for-7 is misleading because, like I said, one of them was in garbage time. So it's really 2-for-6. And it has been penalties and the Damian Harris fumble. So you're right. And to undercut my own argument, the Patriots were 24th last year with Cam Newton in the red zone. So he wasn't some wizard either. Yeah, 24th is better than 32nd. It is better than 32nd.
So is Nick Folk your best offensive weapon? The kicker is the most productive, most efficient, most consistent weapon you have on offense.
I mean, Mr. James White might have something to say about that, and Damian Harris too, but Folk is money, and it's weird that he's made, I think, 33 field goals in a row, but he's missed four extra points in that time. So you'd like to see him make those. But yeah, I mean, when you have a kicker, he also doesn't have the big leg, so you're not going to be kicking these 55-yarders that every team seems to be kicking every week. So you are hindered. You do have to get closer for field goals, but like 50 yards and in, he is automatic.
See, I was thinking, I can't remember because I...
You bailed out the Mac Jones.
This idea that they were going to go with the rookie is just insane in hindsight. Belichick always trusted the veteran, and Nick Folk is just so money.
I just got to the point where I thought he was going to be hurt. Like, that's why, you know, he can't go yet, and they're going to try this Nordine guy. But you think about... You know, if they didn't have him, like, we'd be talking about that intentional ground at the end of the half if Nick Folk didn't blow him out. Help him out, rather, right?
Yeah, what was that, 49, 46? Christian.
Yes, he didn't help him out. 49-yarder. It should have been a 39-yarder, but intentional grounding, and he missed because he missed Hunter Henry wide open in the end zone. Yeah. So you're going to throw a 49-yarder, and he bangs it home, and he's sort of like, okay, no big deal, got you three.
So, Ben, help me out with this one because I'm at the end of the first half. The Patriots, I feel like they got the ball back, but they weren't using timeouts. It's like they weren't trying to get points out of it. It's like, okay, well, if we get close, we get close. We don't, no big deal. I felt like they were content just getting into the locker room and not trying to get those extra points before halftime.
It didn't feel like
weird.
Yeah,
why no urgency?
I didn't feel like their foot was on the gas. It did seem like they were more worried about running the clock down.
Just get out of the half.
And not letting Zach Wilson have another chance. So, you know, we'll be happy with three. You know, they managed the clock well. They got into scoring range. But you're right. It wasn't pedal to the metal to make sure they get in the end zone. And I think, you know, that's the way Bill sees these games. Is as long as we don't turn the ball over and make mistakes, we're going to win. Yeah,
I know, but that is ultimately
against these teams.
Because last year that happened a lot, and I felt like I understood why, because they're like, man, this can only get worse because we don't have the ability to stay on the field and just move the football, keep the chains moving, and get ourselves in position. But this was weird. It's like you have the right personnel. Why are you just content to just, you know, let it fall where it may? Why not push the ball down the field? Zach Wilson is no threat He gave you three interceptions. They had six plays in the first quarter.
See, that's
so there's no fear there. Where's the fear?
But so let's think about the context. The Jets were going to get the ball to start the first half, so Bill didn't want to give them the double score opportunity. And in week one, I mean, how did the Dolphins score? First drive of the halves, and then the last drive of the second quarter.
You think that was... See,
maybe Bill was worried about his two-minute defense.
I'll give that to you. But at the same point, you come out in the second half, first drive, interception, again, by Zach Wilson. You put in a touchdown, Damian Harris run. You go up 19-3. That seems to me like third and fourth quarter is a nice opportunity to allow the kid to throw the ball downfield. You know what I mean? To sit there and say, okay, let's trust you a little bit. It's 19-3. He's already picked him off, what, three times? We know a fourth is coming at some point. He's an absolute mess. If there was ever an opportunity, and if you're going to treat it this way, of like learning moments to kind of put a little bit more on him, tell him to take some more chances, it was there in that middle of that third quarter, up 19-3. They didn't.
But I think if you're Bill, and look, if you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, you try to step on their throat. But with Mac, the worst thing Mac can do is he throws a pick six, and now all of a sudden it's 19-10, and like, boom, the Jets are right back in the game. So I think Belichick, when he sees a 19-3 lead, he's like, all right, game over, let's hand the ball off and get to the locker room.
But going back to the end of the second quarter, so if Josh McDaniels says, I trust him, he can do whatever he wants, there's no limitation, that to me is a limitation.
Big time. Josh is
it's a limitation.
Not being truthful.
No, it's like, okay, nobody believes you, because if you trusted him, like you said you do, then you would have pushed the ball and pushed the issue to double dip, knowing that your defense was 10 times better than their offense. And even if they did score, like, you can go back down and get points back. I don't know. It just, everything's real fishy.
Yep.
I don't trust anybody.
So, Ben, you wrote an article or a column?
One and the same.
Are you
actually
a columnist?
They're not. We found this out.
I am mostly a columnist. Yes.
Okay. All right.
You so have you, to use opinion.
Really?
Yeah. I don't get a cool little drawing of my face, but.
All right. So you wrote a column.
I did one. You want to see what it looks like?
Ranking the rookie quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. That was a column.
It's a column.
Opinion. All opinion.
Yes. And I think you got this right. Mac Jones, obviously, right now is the best one because he's not turning the ball over. I love the fact that you have Trey Lance second because he didn't play on Sunday, which you said, therefore giving him the second best rookie performance of the weekend because he never played.
The other guy sucks so bad.
Oh, I love it.
Not playing makes you the second best.
And then you got Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, and then Davis Mills, who will get his first start, like official start this week. But I liked, obviously, the order you're in. I understand that. I want to see if you agree, though, because Boomer Esiason was on the Greg Hill show, and he took it one step further when they were talking about Mac Jones and if they redrafted, if he would go number one or not.
Well, I think Mac Jones would be. I mean, I think everybody sees that, and he's in the perfect offense. But again, you have to remember that Jacksonville's starting over, the Jets are starting over, Trey Lance is sitting on the bench just waiting for Jimmy Garoppolo to go down eventually. So I think in the situation that these quarterbacks find themselves in, Mac is in the best situation for a young quarterback to be supported by his team. And I think the way that they're handling Mac and what Mac is doing on the field is really a testament to the coaching staff.
See, I disagree with him. And I think then he went on to explain why he's wrong, in my opinion, right? Because he's just being protected more. That's all. I don't think the ceiling is anywhere near the other guys that were drafted in front of him, which is why he would still go fifth if they redrafted today.
Yeah, I love Boomer. He's a great quote. Always fills up your notebook when you need like an analyst to give you a quote. But that's an asinine take. The Jaguars are not taking Mac. They're not taking Trevor Lawrence because he's going to win the most games this year. They think he has the most potential. And you put like Trevor Lawrence on the Patriots, I think Belichick would be able to win a few games with him too. I think they'd probably be able to do a little bit more with their offense than what they're doing with Mac Jones right now. So. Yeah, I mean, Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback taken for a reason. Unlike the four guys in front of him, he's not a runner. He doesn't have that twitchiness, that second reaction type plays. And we even saw it. There was a play in the third quarter. He was rolling out kind of to his left and tried to throw it against his body to Hunter Henry. And it's a throw that Mahomes and Zach Wilson make five times a game. Russell Wilson, these super athletic guys throwing against their body on the run. And Mac just couldn't get any mustard on it. He threw it right in the ground. He couldn't get the ball to Hunter Henry. And that's where you see he just doesn't have the same type of athleticism. But you know what? Tom Brady's probably not making that throw either, and he's been okay. So it's like in the draft process, you know, you obsess over tools and potential, whereas all Belichick cares is, can you operate my offense and can we win some football games?
Accuracy and decision-making. So back to your list. So you have Trey Lance at number two.
Because he didn't play.
Because he didn't play. My thing is that
he hasn't shown himself.
He should legit
be
off the board because he can't. He's not good enough to get himself onto the field. So I think we should readjust it. That's the only issue
with
it.
He's probably on the team that has the best quarterback in front of him.
Well, then
Jimmy Garoppolo's been outstanding for two games.
He should be sixth, and Davis Mills should be two. How about that?
Trevor Lawrence, you know, number one pick guy. Everyone's comparing to Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning, generational talent. Now, again, I think so much of this is your situation, and he might be in a total dumpster fire there with Urban Meyer and that staff. But through two games, there have been 33 qualifying quarterbacks. He is dead last in completion percentage, 50%, 29th out of 33 in yards per attempt, and he leads the league in interceptions. Like, what a disaster.
See, and that's kind of my – so you sit there and you blame it on the new college coach who's now a pro coach who was – I can't remember the last time this guy has lost back-to-back games. Like these coaches, and there's not a lot of them that have gone that have won everywhere they've been, and then they go to this pro style system, and they realize that you know they don't have the amount of control they have, and they don't have the necessary influence that they would like to have. I'll take your scholarship away. Yeah, I don't care. I'm not on scholarship. You pay me, homie. Like you're not taking any of that, guaranteed. So there is a different approach to that. That I just don't think this guy is ready for it. So Dennis Erickson was my first year coach when I was in Seattle, just wins a national title in Miami, comes to Seattle, and not knowing anything about pro football, I just thought it was always like this. I mean, he didn't know anything when I look back on it. He knew absolutely nothing. All the veterans took advantage of him. All of them took advantage of him because we said, no, this is the way you do it in the pros. He said, sure. So we were always 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 maybe. So I just wonder if Trevor Lawrence, is he going to be one of those quarterbacks, like, just for lack of a better, not think of all the other ones, like a Matt, not a Matt Ryan, but a Ryan Leaf. Maybe
David Carr
from Houston. He goes, he's the first pick of the Houston Texans, brand new franchise. Who was the coach that year, though?
Our boy Dom Capers.
Mm. Okay, so he was, he was been in the pros forever. So it wasn't like he didn't have any pro experience.
I actually remember talking to Charlie Casserly about the pick, and he was the GM. They thought they had these veteran offensive tackles. It may have been Tony Boselli. They were signing from the Jaguars or something like that. And
it
then
was.
they had a late injury, and their tackle situation just went to crap. And he was like, if we had known that, we would have taken a tackle with the first pick and not a quarterback. And then David Carr was just led to the slaughter there in Houston.
Because
and
there's a guy that
long
I,
more than Charlie Casserly. Because
I played with Carr, and by the time he was in with Carolina Panthers, he was a disaster.
Yeah,
like a complete just disaster.
But these young quarterbacks, and we were saying this yesterday. I feel like after 2 weeks, we're sort of judging them like as who they are. Like Zach Wilson's a bust. And I think, I don't know, is that because some of young quarterbacks have come in and had success right away that we feel like they have to be really good right away or they're not going to be any good? I was just looking at Andrew Luck's first game. He threw three picks. Like, he threw 54 completion percentage, 18 interceptions his first year.
Yeah, Peyton was miserable.
But
so was Eli.
But that used to be the thing. Now I almost feel like, you know, because of Herbert last year, everyone's like, well, that's it. Zach Wilson, he's a bust. Typical New York Jet. He might be. You know, same thing with Trevor Lawrence. I don't think we know. And that's why when Boomer says right now Mac Jones would go number one, I think in 2 or 3 years, I think that Mac Jones would be a serviceable quarterback, but the upside is going to be so much higher with those other four guys. Now, yeah. The Jets might destroy Zach Wilson because their coaching staff, but I just don't think we know who any of these guys are. They might all be much better than him.
The poor play by Wilson and Lawrence, to me, it's an indictment of their coaches.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say they're a bust by any stretch. Wilson is unbelievable. I mean, I get what Romo's saying when he's just waxing about this guy. But to me, it shows how embarrassing their coaching is, how ill-prepared they are to take these guys into games and actually try to win. It's like, what is your game plan? How are you actually trying to win as opposed to just letting Zach Wilson go out there and just kind of rip it all, you know, throw your 9 routes and your 7 routes and let's just work on things? Like, where's the actual plan to win? So to me, it's just a screaming indictment of the coaching staff they have in Jacksonville.
So see, to me, there is a difference between, you mentioned Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a difference between a guy that, okay, you give him the play, he's dissecting, you know, the reads and, you know, where he, okay, cover 3 beater, cover 2 beater, and then he reads it wrong, but he's trying to stay on time, and he's throwing it. He's like, you know what? Damn it. They got me. Okay, my bad. I was trying to take advantage of it. They tricked me. They got me on this one. And then there's the guy like Zach Wilson, when you talk about a winning mentality, that just throws it. It's not reading. It just didn't want to be sacked, didn't want to be hit, didn't want to just throw it away. So he just said, hey, no big deal. Just threw it. That, to me, there nobody teaches that. Like, nobody teaches just throw it no matter what. We'll count it as a punt. We won't even count it as an interception. That, to me, is concerning. So if you want to start trying to dissect who have a challenge and who's going to bounce from team to team and will have that number one, that first round pick throughout his entire career, Zach Wilson is that guy. I'd be nervous if I was them.
All right. Well, the New England Patriots started season 1-1. Are they what you thought they were?
So I'm gonna take a picture
coming into the year. What do you got? Smiley face.
This is the picture
of Ben.
Ben.
Spitting image.
Can it the does camera look like?
Can we zoom in on this camera?
A real Rembrandt.
Oh yeah, we got it.
It looks good. I like it. Hey, this hour, Maloney and Fourier.
It looks just like him.
Just like him.
This hour, Maloney and Fourier is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. Pat's 1-1. Look around the rest of the AFC, but is this team exactly what you thought they were? I don't think they are. And as also, we had a Monday Night Football game. I'll get Ben's take on whether he liked the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning experience. We'll do that all coming up next here on Maloney and Fourier.